You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The remarkable thing about the cross of Christ is that it works. It works faith, and it works love.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, send this broadcast into all the world. By your grace and kindness, call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised from the dead that we might have life in his saving name. We praise you for the opportunity at the start of this 52nd season of broadcasting to talk to people and to tell them the gospel, the good news of your love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we bless you and give you our praise. Amen. Today we begin the 52nd season of the Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. In all these years we've had only one message, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. A lot of things have changed since this program went on the air as a network broadcast. The world has changed. A whole new world, you might say, has come into being in little over half a century. People fly over the oceans in just a few hours. On the same day, you can be off the coast of China in the morning and be at home in North America, South America, or even in Europe that evening. My grandfather would have been amazed at something like that and probably would not have believed it. It's a whole new world with a whole new set of words. Whirlybirds, computers, word processors, jet aircraft, frozen foods, automatic washers and dryers, television, space shuttles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, digital clocks, and a whole host of things, including some talk about men landing on the moon. All of that and more has happened in the last half century. People wonder how many more changes there will be at this pace before the turn of the next century. In all this time, ever since he walked the dusty roads of the little land at the end of the Mediterranean, only one has not changed. Jesus of Nazareth, crucified for the sins of the world and raised from the dead to be the Savior of the world and the Lord of heaven and earth. Clasping all of human history into his loving arms, Jesus was way ahead of his time, and he is still way ahead of our time. Contrary to the swift passage of things, he is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The message he gave his people to proclaim is still the same, Jesus and his cross. Hard for people to believe some 2,000 years ago, and hard for people to believe today. Nevertheless, this is what we proclaim. It's what his apostles proclaimed, accepting the mission he himself gave them after he was raised from the dead. This is the message for today. We proclaim Christ, said St. Paul, and his crucifixion no less. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross of Christ works. People are usually impressed by anything that works. Pragmatism, the doctrine that rejects everything that does not work and accepts anything that seems to work, has captivated the imagination and the loyalty of the 20th century world. People forget their principles in order to find something that works, they say. It may not be right and not even good, but it works. It may work for only a short time, but people will go for it anyway because at the moment it appears to work. Most of the failures of our time can be traced to unthinking adherence to this superficial dogma. Nothing is any good unless it works. The supreme irony of the headlong rush toward anything that works is that people heedlessly pass by the only power and the only wisdom that really works. That power is the power of God, which is Jesus Christ. That wisdom is the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. That message is the good news of God, which is Jesus Christ. The sign of Jesus Christ is his cross. It stands squarely between the sign of the manger, where he was laid as an infant, and the sign of a tomb where the stone had been rolled away to disclose his resurrection from the dead by the glory of his Father. On that cross, he was crucified, identified on that day by another sign which said simply, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, the chosen people of God, destined by God himself to be his family, the nearest relatives from the human point of view, of his own unique and eternal Son, the Savior of the world. We proclaim Christ and his cross, said St. Paul. It has produced the greatest change the world has ever seen. It produces the greatest change the world ever sees today. It turns people from themselves to God. It brings to people, troubled and restless, uncertain of the future, and loaded with guilt from the past, the good news of salvation by the grace of God, always giving and always forgiving as only God could ever be. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, said St. Paul. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of this proclamation to save those who believe. We proclaim Christ and him crucified, a stumbling block to religious people who find it hard to believe, and complete nonsense to intellectuals who also find it hard to believe. But to those who are called, both religious and intellectual, he still remains Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The death of Jesus had occurred only 30 years before this letter was written to the people at Corinth. The good news of that brutal cross was proclaimed to these people, and some of them, as always, believed. They believed, in spite of the fact that crucifixion was reserved in the Roman Empire only for slaves and barbarians, in other words, for the despised of the world. When Roman citizens were condemned to death, they were beheaded, not crucified. Anybody who was crucified was thought to be under the curse of God. This helps to explain what Paul meant when he said that Jesus Christ was made to be a curse for all of us. Contrary to the expectation of everyone, the cross of Christ turned the world upside down. Believing on his cross and believing that he truly is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, people are still turned upside down and inside out today. The cross may be a stumbling block to some and utter nonsense to others, but to those very people who do not think that they can believe, it still becomes the power of God and the wisdom of God today. The world is not going to be saved by any philosophy or even any religion. Paul was a religious man, thinking he was doing God a service by hauling people off to jail. This man was won over, as people are always won over, by the Spirit of God Himself simply impressing upon them the cross of Christ. People are saved by faith in Him and in Him alone. It happened then, and it happens all the time today. It can happen to you, religious or irreligious as you may be, with straightforward faith in Jesus Christ, crucified for you and raised from the dead just for you. The gospel of Jesus Christ has a special power and a special wisdom that come from God Himself. Jesus Christ is God's personal word to you. Is it nothing to you, this cross, all of you who pass by? Is it nothing to you that Christ died for your sins and that Christ lives to forgive you and set you on a new path? Is it nothing to you, always looking for something that works and never does? The cross of Christ works. It's God's work in the world, and it is for you. When He died, all died, and He died for all, that those who live by faith in Him should not henceforth live to themselves alone, but rather to Him who for their sakes died and rose again. The cross of Christ is God's appeal to people everywhere, calling us all to repentance with faith in Jesus Christ. It promises forgiveness, and it gives what it promises. It does the impossible. It changes people, filling their lives with the love of God and giving power to love others. It brings salvation to a world that appears to be intent on destroying itself. The remarkable thing about the cross of Christ is that it works. It works faith, and it works love. One thing it does, it works. On His cross, Jesus put Himself in your place. The moment you say, "He's for me," you have faith in Him. Faith in Jesus is a gift from God to you. I guess you could say it's a miracle, with a capital M. It's not your power, but His power at work in you. The same thing is true of love. Not out to get something for yourself. This kind of love comes from God Himself. Reborn at the foot of Christ's cross, you learn from Christ Himself to go and grow in love, becoming the mature personality that God intended you to be. The cross of Christ is God's grace from beginning to end. It is all in Jesus Christ, of whom God Himself said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." John Newton learned Bible passages and hymns from his mother, who died when John was 7 years old. When he was 11, John joined the Navy with his father as sea captain. Life went from bad to worse. He was a deserter from the Navy, and later on he became an outspoken infidel who believed in no God at all. In the course of human events, including a terrific storm at sea, and also his reading of a book by Thomas A. Kempis, The Imitation of Christ, this unbelieving slave dealer became a warm-hearted hymn writer. It was John Newton who wrote the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." John Newton's epitaph, which he himself composed, reads, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." The cross of Jesus Christ works. It worked for John Newton. It worked for St. Paul. It can work for you. It works with power to forgive what no one else can. It works, giving strength to love the unlovable. It works for a 40-year-old man now in the hospital with an inoperable cancer. For the last 8 years, he's been having an affair with another woman, and now his faithful wife visits him in the hospital, bringing to him the love of Christ. It works, removing the bitterness of tragedy and bringing a deep joy and peace that passes all understanding. The cross of Christ works. What looks like foolishness to many people is wiser than men. What looks like weakness in a world that idolizes power is stronger than men. For that reason, we shall continue to proclaim the cross of Christ, bringing to the world and to you forgiveness and life in Him. The apostle is absolutely right. Jesus Christ, crucified, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen.